Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for spending your valuable time and coming out and worshiping the Lord. Another glorious day this morning. I am so thankful. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Somebody loves me. Amen to that, brother. Thank you. I wanted to just tell you all how much I appreciate you and thank you for the love that we commonly share, not only in Christ, but to each other. As I was going through this lesson, it's always one of those things where I always build up too much, then I got to pare it back, and then pare it back some more, and pare it back yet even some more, to keep it within the within daylight savings time. So this lesson is going to be about the same length as the ones that I've previously taught, so about 15, 20 minutes, and then it'll be yours. And hopefully you'll take it home, and then you can all study it with other family members and talk to others about some of the things that I mention up here, because I'm really not telling you anything that you don't really already know. I think what I'm doing is reminding you of some things that you probably have already talked about with others. But yet, you know, it's good to have that, to be able to discuss it. And this is an opportunity for further Bible study. So please look into that. I'd like to take a moment to pay our respects as brothers and sisters in Christ to those in Pittsburgh, that synagogue, from that horrible, horrible, tragic shooting that took place there recently. You know, I don't know what gets into people's heads, and we certainly can't, you know, fathom what compels a person to do the things that they do. But God gave us the ability of, you know, free will for us to do the things we want to do, whether for good or for evil. And for some people, they choose to use it for evil, and that's a terrible thing. So please keep our friends, our Jewish friends, in your prayers, whether they believe in Christ or how they believe in him. It's not at issue. It's that they are deserving of our prayers anyway, and that they are deserving of at least the comfort that we can offer, at least to the extent that we can offer it, and that is by sending up a fervent prayer for which our Lord will hear, and he will answer in his own way. This is the last lesson of a series of the Christian and some things. First one was a Christian and his brother. The second was a Christian and his neighbor. The third was a Christian and the church. And the last one, which is this one, is the Christian and the world. You know, I was thinking about how I was going to put this together. And, you know, you've probably heard the quote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Some of you have heard that expression before. And, you know, it's a little dramatic. I'm sure it's a cliche. But the philosopher George Santayana, who said that, he actually had a good point. And it's a fact that we often forget history, and then we end up repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And even in some cases, history gets rewritten to the convenience of those who conquered it. So we have to be careful about what we read in history. And we have a history book right here. It's called the Bible. This is the history that's relevant to our souls, and we should study fervently to try and derive something, some lessons from it, so that we don't make the same mistakes. You know, the church has been under persecution for, well, since the beginning. Since Christ died on the cross, the church has been under persecution. You know, all of the apostles died as martyrs, save John, who died on the island of Patmos. You know, from AD 64 to AD 212, we have some of the most fervent persecution that the church underwent. And if you study Roman history a little bit, you'll find that some of that persecution was really exquisite. I mean, it was the kind of thing where people were burned. Christians were fed to animals. Nero burned the city, and then who's he blamed? He blames the most vulnerable people in his community, and that is the Christians. And then he punishes them for something they didn't do. And it went on and on and on, one form or another. And I can tell you, you know, I reflect upon that, and I think of if I was living then, I look upon it from, I try to put myself in that position. If I was living then, could I have endured that? And in a lot of cases, this is what they had to do. If they would renounce Christ, then they would live. Now think about that for a moment. If someone came to you and said, I'm going to kill you unless you renounce Christ, could you do it? That's a tough one to think about. It's not so tough depending on where you are in your spiritual growth, but at the end of the day, what did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. It's a serious point. It is why we take a confession before someone obeys the gospel and washes away their sins in that watery grave of baptism, that they acknowledge that Christ is our Lord and Savior. But the church has been under persecution and is still under persecution. Christianity is still banned in AD 2018, that is this year, still banned in 50 countries. And in 12 of those countries, you can be tortured or killed for wearing a cross and carrying a Bible in 12 of those countries. So it's sad to know that we actually have brothers and sisters in Christ who are in those environments trying to live the faith. God bless them. They come to the knowledge of Christ, they obey the gospel, and now they're living, they find themselves living, not in a free country like America here, but living in a country where they could be killed if they walked out the door and professed his name. So we need to feel very blessed that we live here today in the United States, that we can live in a country where we can't be persecuted for what we believe. Now, there's some circumstances where we have been persecuted for what we believe living here, and I'll get to those shortly. There's been 18 fatal church shootings. We've seen, and we got the synagogue shooting that was yesterday. It's not the church, but nevertheless, it's still just as bad. You know, in July 18th, just a few months ago, Sewickley Heights Borough, which is a town that's a few miles west of Pittsburgh, had ordered a family who had, I think, 35 acres of land, that ordered them to end their Bible studies on their private property. So we even got some municipalities encroaching upon our religious liberties. We have a little bit of that in schools as well. So there's no doubt that, you know, the church is still very much under persecution. More Christians have died in this last century and the 20th century, from 1901 to 2001, than in the past other centuries combined. Literally millions. We don't hear about it because news doesn't report it. But if you look deep enough, you can find it. Our brothers and sisters in Christ out there are dying for their faith. And we need to be mindful of the sacrifices that they're making and understand that if God calls upon us to do the same, we have to be ready to do that. So while the church has always been under persecution, let's talk about some of the challenges that we have today. And these are challenges that you are already familiar with. You know, there's an intolerance of God or religion in general, even in our schools. It's becoming more and more prohibited, especially for Christians. Because we are gentle people, because we're largely passive. We don't come in a mob, an uproar, and create a problem in society. Because we are that way, we're vulnerable, and people take advantage of that. People in the world will take advantage of that. The biggest example of intolerance of God in our schools is the teachings of Darwinism. If you think about it, they want to teach your kids in the schools today about evolution, something that there is not even a shred of evidence to support. And yet they don't even want you to mention the fact that there's a possibility that God created the heavens and the earth. They don't even want you to mention that. But yet they want to take your kids through school and teach them these things that are sadly incorrect, frankly. They're just not true. We have to be mindful of that. The second challenge that we have today is sexual immorality. You know, more and more people are shacking up like it's okay, you know, like, for lack of a better expression or example, it's like test driving before you get married. Well, what's the point? It's the question I would ask. That's out there, and we see that happening. It's no different, though, today than it was back in history. So, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was much worse then. And it's just the same as it is in today in some places where now you have things happening. And we don't have any kids in here, do we? Okay. You have these companies creating these sexual dolls and things like that. And you have opportunities for fornication in ways. And just it's just terrible. It's disgusting. But that's out there. It exists. It is here. It's the reality of the world. Third thing is, you know, this thought policing that's going on. Oh, my goodness. You know, if I have a different opinion from you than or from society in general, then, you know, I'm all of a sudden all sorts of names of things that I am actually not. You know, if you have a different opinion about homosexuality, if you have a different opinion about anything that's what God says versus what the world says, then you are denigrated and you are treated like a pariah in society. This is the world we live in. You know, not being able to express a different opinion is really tough to fathom, but we're here. The culture of tolerance under the guise of equality. You know, tolerance used to be, had a specific definition of a temporary sort of acceptance of something just for the sake of, you think of it like this. Nobody likes going to the dentist. You tolerate going to the dentist. You tolerate going to the doctor. You tolerate those things that you have to do for the betterment of maybe your health or for something like that. But tolerance nowadays is accommodating sin. That's where we're at. If you don't be accommodating to sin, you are intolerant all of a sudden. The culture of entitlement is yet another one. Why doesn't anybody want to work anymore? You know, we have at least two generations of kids that have grown up without God. Thankfully, none in the church. Our kids have grown up with God. You've taught them. You've trained them up in the way in which they should go. But we have an entire generation out there, two at least, that grew up without a holistic family, a mother and a father and, you know, going to church, praying, reading their Bibles, knowing who God is and developing that relationship. And now they feel like we should give them whatever they deserve. I'm not saying that for everyone. Please don't take my words to mean that everyone is, this is a general statement applicable to society in general. But we have a culture of entitlement out there where people feel like they deserve certain benefits at the expense of others. And where did that come from? That came from a world not knowing God. More and more people don't want to work or earn their dignity. So Ecclesiastes 1:9, you know, Solomon says it best, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. This stuff we're dealing with now, it's already been dealt with before. We've seen it before. Now, this is a natural problem. You know what? We shouldn't be surprised. You know, we are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. In John 15, 18, 19, it tells us, in the world, if the world, this is Jesus speaking, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. And that's the operative expression now. The world would love its own, and why I have it underlined. Because the world does love its own. They don't love Christ. They love themselves. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus was hated because he did not conform to the world. You know what? Guess what? You're going to be hated because you don't conform to the world. How about that? Shouldn't be surprised. It's a natural condition of being a lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So expect it. But don't be afraid to speak out when you see something happening or something wrong. You know, the fact of the matter is that Christianity is so different from the pagan ideas of the world that Jesus expected us to be hated for it. You know, the world doesn't abide in truth. It doesn't abide in righteousness, but in its own sinful desires. The world is in a constant state of darkness. And guess who's the light? You. You're the light in this dark and dying world. Matthew 5:14, John 8:12, and 9:5. So Christians' view of the world is this. Look, we are a separate community, pure and simple. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18 tells us, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You know, we can forsake the world. We can be that separate community, Galatians 3:26 and 27. We can completely separate ourselves from the impurity that is in the world. Because it is a dying world, Romans 6:1 and 2, where we died to sin and now live for him. So we've already took the first step of separating ourselves from that world. And we left the world, why? To escape its punishment. You know, the world will be punished. It was punished first when it was flooded, when God saw the hearts of men and that every thought of them was evil. What did he do? He destroyed it with water. And we know that 8 souls of Noah from the ark came out. The next time, it's going to be final, and it's going to be done with fire. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. There it is again. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, because we will be tested. In fact, we're tested every single day. You may discern what the will of the Lord is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We have put off the ways of the world, and now we live as an example to the world of what God expects. And we should continue to do that, and I'm sure that we all make that best effort to do that. Just continue to do what you're doing and serving him, and you'll be all right. We no longer desire to walk in the vanity of our minds. Ephesians 4:17. We have put away falsehood, wrath, stealing, corrupt speech. You know, the speech today is really troubling. There was, you know, sidebar here. You know, me and Anita like to visit antique stores. We like to go into some of those places and we find, like, neat things that we see that from back in the day before either of us were born. But we like it. And we came upon a series of magazines, Ladies Home Journal. Thank you. Ladies Home Journal. And the way they talked back then was so beautiful. I almost wish we could have talked like that today. But we don't talk like that today. Today, our speech is not as seasoned with salt as it should be. At least in the world, the way that we look at the news and we see some of the things that are said, it's just flabbergasting. But just reading some of the things in the Ladies Home Journal, and, you know, by the way, that's for Anita, not me. I'm a man, okay? I only asked her what it said, okay? No, it's really beautiful, and I think that if we were to speak like that today, we would probably have much better relationships between one another. It talked about etiquette and how, you know, ladies should be and all of that and all that sort of thing. It's really good stuff. But we've put away all those things as Christians: wrath, stealing, corrupt speech, bitterness, envy, anger, clamor, railing, and malice, Ephesians 4:31. All those things are gone. So while we've put away those things, the world wants to fashion us according to its ideas. You know, the world wants us to refuse to train and discipline our children. You know, even the slightest little discipline, all of a sudden you're an abuser, is the way the world wants it to be. To believe the home and family is not important, that divorce for any reason is acceptable, that women should be that women should not be in the role that God has set forth, that sexual immorality is an acceptable way of life. That's the world. That's what the world wants us to think. And that man is saved by faith only. The world wants a religion that makes them feel good. That's pure and simple. That's what the world wants. Keep it there. So we need to forsake the world and love God. 1 John 2:15 through 17. I think that's what was read to your hearing. I won't read it again here. But the key here is that, you know, if we are for God, we are not of the world. And if we are for the world, then we are not for God. James 4:4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So really what we have is we realize that we have two choices. We can't love God in the world, and we have to make a choice. I'm not talking about we. I'm referring to people in general. We have to make a choice as to whether or not we are going to serve God or if we're going to be in service to the world. You know, it doesn't mean, and I want to make this point, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to have nice things. It's not what it means. Or to live a life in relative comfort. We're in a free country. We have great wealth here in the United States. The problem is as soon as we become comfortable, we also become complacent. And we forget where those blessings come from. That's what happens. Think about this. You know, I think there was a lottery here that was like, what, $1.6 billion, something like that. And there was another one like $600 million. You know, now we don't play, but, you know, and I don't recommend that you should play. I don't think that's a good use of your monies, but just think for a moment. Just follow the thought out. If you had won all of a sudden a bunch of money, how would it affect your relationship with God? Would you forget about him? After you go out and you buy all these nice things, you redo the house, get a couple new cars, get the jet skis. Would you forget about God? Oh, let's be honest. There will be points and times where you absolutely would. It could be easily done if you have all these things available to you and the money is no longer an object. Where's God fit in that picture? Something to think about, isn't it? So, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to bless us. He blesses us greatly. Every day he allows us to wake up with the use of our faculty and our limbs, breathing, being able to go out and accomplish our goals, go to work, deal with the kids, get groceries on the way home, put gas in the car. Our needs are met, not our wants. And God helps us in that. So it is surprisingly easy to become, though, infatuated with the things of the world. Just look at the benefits of technology and our living in this free country. There are people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that do not have these benefits. And they forsook the world for Christ. All the more it should be easier for us to forsake the world. But sometimes it can be a little bit hard. It seems a little counterintuitive. because we have such an easy life here. If we didn't have that easy life and we live like those in other places, we might appreciate God a little bit more. Just a possibility. So in conclusion, I leave you with 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Don't you want to abide forever? Yes, I want to abide forever, Lord. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Walk in wisdom, walk in wisdom. Let's see, I can pray for wisdom and know that I can get it because I'm a child of God. Okay, James tells us, you pray for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Do that. And then use that wisdom to be the light of the world. We are to love this lost world, which is a challenge given the way they treat us, but we got to love them, but not to love their ungodly ways and their unrighteousness. God has given mankind a choice. And as we go out and we teach others about the love of the Lord, and we stay separated from it, we want to teach others that they have that choice as well. Become separated from the world or perish with it. Let us teach, live, and love like Jesus while we stand and sing.